Good morning, church. Good morning. Did you know that God, from the very beginning, calls those who are ordinary and even those who consider themselves as weak to do the greatest works that bring God the greatest glory? And I believe that with all my heart. It becomes a whole lot easier to stand up here on a Sunday morning when I know that God can use somebody very ordinary and weak to increase my faith and to use me in a way that brings him the greatest glory. So that's my prayer this morning, and that's my prayer for you as well, that that would be God's revelation to you in some way today. We hear these words from 1 Samuel when we think about David's life. When David, remember, he was a very ordinary person before he became king, and David was just a shepherd boy. And when David came before the prophet Samuel, the Lord said to Samuel, rather, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I believe that from the very beginning, and even right now, God is looking into each of our hearts and saying, there's something there that I can use. And there's something there that I'm going to use for my glory. So go ahead and turn to our passage for today in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I want to do a couple things today. I want to take us back over the life of David, kind of a fast lane version of it, and recap David's life a little bit. And also, I'm really excited about this morning because we have some students in our senior high ministry who are going to be coming and sharing a little bit about what God's been doing in their lives and in the lives of those who went to IYC this July. So pretty exciting stuff for you today. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Looking at the story of David, we see that David was two things. He was both a man of weakness. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen that very clearly in David's confrontation. We also see that David is a man of great faith. And I want to really highlight the things that Dean had talked about, that God, when he saves us, he doesn't just save us from, but he saves us to. And the things that God saves us to are really exciting for us. God chose David to be part of something greater than he even realized. So the question for David was not whether or not Israel would have a king, because when David became a king, that had already been decided. Israel had decided, we're going to have a king. But the question for David was, what kind of a king will I be? What kind of influence will I have? And I think that the same thing is true of us today. The question is not whether or not that every one of us in this room are going to have an influence. The question is, what kind of influence will I have? Even if I'm not a king, even if I don't lead large groups of people, we still, remember, God looks for the ordinary. God looks for those whose hearts are turned to him, and we will have influence. So the role of the king in Old Testament time, from the very beginning, the intention for Saul all the way up through all of the kings, was not that the king would live independent of God's reign, or not that the king would bring glory to himself, but that the king would be one who represented God to the people, where the king would lead the people in obedience to God. So God's representative. And if you keep your finger in 2 Samuel chapter 22 turn with me to the New Testament, we're going to see that our role is not much different. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The role of the king was to represent God to the people. Our role is not that much different. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verses 17 through 20. Here in the pages turning. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. That's the from. And he has committed to us, the message of reconciliation. And I want you to highlight verse 20 if you want. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And so that is the two. God has called us each to something to represent him to those around us. And what that looks like may change over time, but we all have influence. And so if you think about it, God called a king to point the people of God to himself. But then, fast forward, God sends Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, to us to show us what our lives are meant to be about, what our lives are meant to be lived for, and Jesus set for us the perfect example of influence. And so now he invites each and every one of us, whether we're pastors or leaders, or whether we go to work every day, or we love our families, he calls each of us to be his representatives. And so, did David know that he was, while he was watching sheep, do you think that David knew that his life was going to be a part of something greater than that? I don't know if David quite, I mean, he was growing in his faith and in his journey, but I don't know if David quite realized that God was just going to blow David's plans way up into something more than what he even realized. And do we know when we go to work every day, or when we go to school this fall, or when we're with family, do we know that God wants to take our plans and do something more than what we even can imagine? So tonight, or not tonight, hopefully tonight we'll see some of you, but today, this morning, I want to do a couple things. I want to set the stage both literally and in our minds. We've set the stage with some stools up here because I'm going to have some students come and join me in a few moments. But first, I want to recap David's life thus far and observe some of the ways that David surrendered his plans, his life to God. Then I'm going to have some of our students come and share a little bit about ways that God spoke to them and to our group as a whole, really, dreams that God was giving us as a group through IYC. So, first of all, how did David surrender to God's greater plan? Let's look at the text that Dean read for us this morning in 2 Samuel. I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. And this is what David says after God has come through. So David's gone through a lot at this point, but God has come through. And look at what David says of God in verse 31. He says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him." And then look at verse 37. "You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn." So David realized something in his story, in his journey, that God's way, God's plans were so much greater, and not only that, but they were perfect for David. Remember back in the earliest days what David was doing. Before David was a king, what was David doing? He was being faithful as a shepherd. He was being faithful in the little things as a servant. And then when Saul called him to serve as a musician, David played faithfully. David was in the background, and David was doing the things that he felt were honoring to God. But then what happened? David did a lot of running as well, didn't he? When King Saul got jealous of David and started throwing spears at him, what did David have to do? He did a lot of running. And so David was in exile for a long time. He thought that he was following God's plan, but even in the midst of being chased away to other nations or out of the kingdom, he was still trusting in God's plan. And after Goliath, we know the story of Goliath that we talked about several weeks back, David all of a sudden sees that I've got a following. I've got a group of people who would die for me because I slayed this giant, and all of a sudden I've got a group. David realizes that he can take the kingship for himself, and he had two opportunities to kill the king before him. He had two opportunities to kill Saul, once in a cave and once while Saul was sleeping, and this is what David said. "The Lord himself will strike him, or his own time will come and he will die, but I will not lay my hand on the Lord's anointed." What was David saying when he had an opportunity to take for himself his own plans? He was saying, God's way is perfect. God will do what God wants. And as David ran through the desert, running over rocks and hiding in caves, we read these words at the beginning of the text. Look at verses 1 through 3. This kind of David looking back and reflecting over his experience, this is what David says. Think about those days that he was running. He says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and savior. From violent men, you save me." And so it took David years to become king. He started out faithful in the little things. He trusted in God's plan. But even when he was anointed king at Hebron, that was the first place where they said, okay, David, you're now the king, you're the ruler. It took him even 7 years after that before he was king in Jerusalem. So David did a lot of waiting in his time, just trusting in God's plan, trusting that God had a plan for him and was going to work things out. And when we trust, now let's tie it into our lives, when we trust in God that way and we say, God, your way is perfect, we begin to feel something rising up in us that we didn't have before. Because now I'm not just trusting in my own abilities and my own plans. If I'm trusting in God, I start to have some boldness. I start to have some courage that wasn't there before because I'm not living for me anymore. I'm living for God and what he wants. Look at verse 30. This is a shepherd, remember, who became king, and God made him very bold. In verse 30, he says, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. And then go down to verse 33 through verse 35. He says, for it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down and make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. Can you see in David that there is something else besides David that's happening here? That God is giving to David abilities, and we read the stories of David and we're like, wow, David did all that. But remember who it was that was stooping down and giving David courage and boldness to do all of these things. And David needed a lot of courage because he fought a lot of battles. How many times do we read that David was fighting against the Philistines or fighting to capture Jerusalem? And in each one, David's life was at risk. How many battles do we face every day? Whether or not our lives are on the line, there might be a lot more that's on the line, a relationship or something that's very close to us. How many battles do we fight daily? And David faced lots of giants, one in particular. Think about Goliath. And when all the armies of God were frozen in fear, or they were sitting around doing nothing, or they were running away, where were David's eyes? David's eyes were on God saying, it is not the spear or the sword that saves, but the battle is the Lord's. And so David had courage because his eyes were in the right place. How many of you are John Wayne fans? Any John Wayne fans in here? I don't know much about John Wayne, but I found this quote and I had to share it. I don't know if this is divinely inspired or just a really cool quote, but I think it says what I'm trying to say, and John Wayne says it really well. Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. That's what courage is. Courage isn't the absence of fear, but it's being scared to death and still trusting, still going forward. And David didn't have a horse or a saddle to jump on and ride into battle against Goliath. He said, well, God, here's some stones from the stream, and I've got this sling that I'm, in my pocket. And I almost see, like, when we come to God and we said, well, God, I don't have very much to give to you. I've just got these stones, or I've got this sling. And God's saying, that'll do. Now watch what I can do with those. Watch what I can do to bring myself glory through what you do have. And so David was very bold. What is it that strengthens you? Or better yet, who is it that strengthens you when you reach the point of no return? We had just gone to Michigan Adventure this last week with some of our students, and there was a point of no return for myself, for Terry, and for Connie Biskey. We got on that ripcord, and they pulled us all the way up, and there's a point of no return. Or the only way to return is by pulling that cord. So who is it that strengthens you when you know there's no returning? I heard a quote, and these guys are going to come up and share a little bit about IYC, but one of the speakers says, and this stuck with me because I thought it was funny, but it was true. He says, if God calls you to a particular road, he said it like this, he'll give you the right moccasins. So he'll give you the right moccasins. And I thought that was so true. If God calls you to something, he'll give you the right shoes or moccasins, if you prefer. So did David have influence? Of course he did. And we say, well, he was a king. I'm not really a leader. I don't really, have that much influence. But believe it or not, there are people who watch our lives on a daily basis. And we do have an influence. David says, remember the words he says to Samuel, do not consider the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And David says this in verse 29 of our text today. He says of God, you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. And he's talking about God's protection, because right before that, he says, you save the humble. So God turns my darkness into light. He brings me out into open spaces. Jesus also had something to say about lamps. And it wasn't so much about protection, but about influence. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this to a group of disciples, and I believe he says it to all of us. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Whether we know it or not, our lives are either influencing others toward Christ or away. And our lives each have an influence on those around us. So when we know that David was a man who had struggles, he was a man of weakness, but a man of faith, but he always returned to the one true king. And when David said things like, everyone here today will know, Goliath, that it is not the spear or the sword that saves, it is the Lord, the battle is the Lord's. When David said things like that, he was pointing people to God. When David, as Paul spoke a few weeks ago, was bringing the ark back into Jerusalem, celebrating and dancing and stripping off his clothes, becoming undignified, David was, by his actions, pointing others to God. And I want to read just a couple of Psalms. I'm going to have these guys come up here and share a little bit. But David, even at the very end of his life, he shared what it was that God had done. So even when the battles were already fought, even when he had done everything that his physical strength could do, he still said this, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O Lord, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. And then in Psalm 78, he says, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell them to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. David took time to share what it is that God has done. And that's what I'm going to do right now, is I'm going to invite some of our students to come and share what it is that God has done through the group that had a chance to go to Denver in July, and some of the dreams that God gave to the group. So Tim and Stephen DeYoung, if you guys want to come up, and Caleb Biskey are going to come and join me. Go ahead and grab a seat, guys. I'm going to move this and hand the mic to one of you guys. We'll just pass it down the line. Sound good?
Hola.
All right. Introduce these guys again. This is Stephen DeYoung, Caleb Biskey, and Tim DeYoung. And there was actually 9 students that went with us to Denver, Colorado, and they spent 1 week basically serving in Parker, Colorado, doing very similar to what we do as a block party in the fall. They did a community carnival for the people in Parker, Colorado, and going door to door. And the second half was the convention itself, where students from all over the nation, Church of God, youth ministries, came together to worship. Just a really, really powerful setting, and to be trained and encouraged in their faith. And so I want these guys to share a little bit about dreams that God gave us as a group, thinking about the ways that David surrendered his life to God, but also these were some themes that really stood out to our group when we met together. So first of all, guys, and we're just going to do this open mic, so if anybody wants to share, we'll just pass it down. So, all right, so show these guys some love, all right? All right, so first question, you guys ready?
Yep.
All right, in what ways did our group as a whole learn about surrendering our plans to God? Or maybe there was opportunities that we had to do just that?
Well, on our first day there, thanks to Pastor Steve, we arrived an hour early to what we were supposed to be at. And so they asked us to serve dinner. And I didn't really want to, because I wanted to socialize and eat food. But we had to serve first. But it sort of leads into his second question, too, about influencing. And so we were serving food, and not only did we get to meet every single person, because they go all through the line, and so we got to talk to every single person, but we got to serve them also and influence them, showing God's love, and they were really thankful, especially the people who were supposed to serve food.
Yeah, these guys really stepped up. They were, and Steve will tell you, and they loved it too. They probably had plans for dinner, I'm sure. But just even so, not even big things, but small things sometimes. Just okay, God, what is it you want to do? Any of you, either of you two, want to share on that particular question, surrendering plans? Yeah. All right.
The last day that we were in the service project, we ended up doing a big thing where all the groups go to different churches. Our group ended up staying at the same place we were the entire week, and we're going to go help and like weed out, and that was all we were supposed to do. Is our group was going to pull out weeds and the other group was going to paint, and our group ended up seeing that this entire brickwork that they had that we had to pull weeds out of was really bad, really badly set, and it was all falling apart. So we ended up deciding, instead of just pulling the weeds, we removed every single brick, pulled all the weeds out, and then relayed them so they looked better. And then we ended up we cut down a couple dead trees that were in the back. We did a lot more than what we were supposed to do. We just surrendered our plan and did a lot more, and it was actually better.
All right. Doing some manly stuff, taking down those trees. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so that was just opportunities that you guys had to just go, because you had expectations, here's what we're doing, but going above and beyond. God, how do you want to use me? What about boldness? Were there times that you guys felt like God was giving the group boldness or you boldness, courage that maybe you didn't have before?
I think for our group, there was, when we first got there, we helped out with a carnival care, kind of like the block party, but our group was asked to go and deliver flyers the day before to all the houses in the neighborhood. And for a lot of us, that was like pretty nervous. I mean, for me it was, for sure. But we went out there, and then I think a lot of us, we were just like praying before we went to that first house. And then like the first few houses were good because people didn't answer the door. But then you got to like that third house, and like they might ask you like, oh, where is it? And you're like, down the road. Because you don't really know the area. Yeah, it's not Elma. But God took us through that, and I thought that was a real strong chance to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. So if any of you have ever had to go door-to-door for anything, just the courage that it takes to meet a complete stranger. And so God giving these guys boldness, that was pretty awesome. And Steve and Dawn got a chance to lead the first half of that trip while Terry and I were at another wedding. For my brother, so they got to experience that with you guys, and that was just a really cool thing to hear about. Any other instances of boldness where you saw boldness in the group or convention or the mission experience?
Well, at the carnival of care itself, there was we got signed up for a job which is called the ambassador, which I think we should do at the block party because it was a kind of cool idea, but it's also nerve-wracking, kind of like the door-to-door, because the job of the ambassador is to walk around and just find people who you just see off to the side or just walking around, just try to make conversation with them. And it's a kind of hard job to do if you're not really comfortable with talking to strangers. It's kind of fun.
All right. Do you remember any conversation in particular from that? Sorry.
I ended up talking to a guy who, he was just walking around. He had this really, I can't remember what kind of dog it was. It was just kind of cool, and he's just walking around holding this dog, and we just talked about what kind of dogs he likes, and it was kind of cool.
All right. This can start there. How's the dog doing?
I just wanted to second, wow, that was loud. But I just wanted to second that it is really hard to talk to people. I'm terrified right now. But, like, going door to door and talking to people you don't know, because they really emphasize the, you want to like start a conversation with these people so you get to know them, and then they come to the block party or when they're already at the carnival, that you like, you just try to be friendly and just learn about their lives, and it's just really hard to do. And we were really bold about it, our group, so really cool. All right. Place to be.
Great. Well, what about influence? Are there times during the trip that you guys felt like, wow, our group is really influencing and we didn't really see this happening before we came, that our group was going to have this kind of influence? Might even overlap to something personally for you that you realized God was using you, but any opportunities for influence that you saw? Obviously, moments that you were bold, but any other things that you can think of?
Again, when we were serving food, a lot of those people were really thankful that we were doing it. So,
yeah. All right. Putting these guys on the spot a little bit. They're doing great, aren't they?
well, a kind of personal part for me when I was giving influence was at the Carnival of Care. One of the ladies there, she was supposed to get people to tell their testimony, and out of nowhere, she just walked into a group of which I was in, and another one who I met there, who's now one of my friends, and she just walked up, like, okay, we need two people to tell their testimony. Who wants to do it? And only two people. Like, it took a while. We're just sitting there, like, what are we gonna do? I don't wanna, I'll do it. But it was kind of cool, because then I got a lot of people saying that's such a cool story, and it's amazing that you could turn out this just all fine after that.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I really had so much fun. I had so much fun with these guys and the 9 students total that went to International Youth Convention, something that happens every 2 years. Tonight, they're going to share a little bit more on a personal level, some lessons that God showed them and that sort of thing. But just for everyone here this morning, is there anything that, just taking from this experience as a whole, that you feel like God has given you or this group dreams for not only yourselves, but maybe even the church or the community of Alma, this area? Any dreams? What would that look like if we were to live out boldness and surrendering our plans to God?
Just something that we talked about as a group when we had like a little meeting after the thing was all done. It was just the fact that a lot of us wanted to see what it would look like if we all, kind of like you said, lived our life all bold. Just like everyone, every time they got the chance to share their life with Christ to someone else, I think if that happened, this church, this world would be different. Just if it was just this church, this community acting bold as one, it would change the world.
Yeah. All right. Any other dreams that you guys, maybe God put on your heart for us as a church or as even a youth ministry or something bigger than us?
I don't know if I have an actual dream, but one of the speakers during the IYC, the actual convention part, was talking about how just to go all in with God and 100% and not to be afraid, instead do a cannonball into your fears and just trust that God's going to be with you, because after all, we're only going to be here so long, and then there's no more time, so eternity.
Sort of going off what Caleb said, there's another speaker, he was like, you will never be 100% ready to do something you're not fully willing to do, like it scares you, and so you just got to trust God and just truly believe that he has a plan for you and go all in.
One of the speakers of the first week we had, he said something that I kind of agree with, is because I heard it from another speaker from a couple years back when I was at a youth retreat, and he said, "Don't live your life praying small prayers. Like you can occasionally say thank you God for this, thanks for that, thank you for the food that you provided." But he said, "Pray foolishly. Pray that if someone heard you praying, they would think that guy's kind of crazy." Pray for world-changing things, not just small, teeny things. It's like, help me get through tomorrow's exam. Help me do this. Yeah. Say, help me change the world. Help me get to school tomorrow and change 10 people's mind about me. Change 10 people's mind about God.
Yeah, so being open to the greater plan that God has, the small things, but the big things, too. Well, I just want to say again, guys, how much I appreciate you coming up here. I know it's a lot of pressure to come up and to share in front of church family and friends. These three, actually, there was a time during the convention where they just gave an invitation. They said, if there are any that are feeling a particular call to leadership in some way, whether that's ministry, whether that's leading in your youth ministry, whether that's being a missionary, these guys all feel like God has been tugging on their heart in some way, and maybe not seeing exactly what that's going to look like, but if you can pray for these three guys, they are each feeling that call to leadership in some way. And so they responded to that invitation, and when we were sitting down and having our reunion, I'm like, so who would like to sit up in front on Sunday morning and share? And it was a God thing that without, you know, tying them up and bringing them in, that they said, hey, we can do that. God can use me. So, guys, I really appreciate you, and let's show them our appreciation for sharing. No. Tonight, I'm really excited because for parents, as well as any of our families, individuals, small groups, couples that supported financially our students, we want to appreciate you tonight to come and to hear more personal testimony from our students that went. And I'll talk a little bit more about that after we're all done, but tonight we'll be sharing more from this experience. But I want to kind of tie all this together a little bit, because we've been looking at the life of David these last few weeks, and what does that mean for us? We want to make it real simple, because sometimes the best way to let it just sink in is to ask some of those questions that David had to ask in his life. First of all, do you have plans? I'm sure if we were all to get out our calendars this morning and open them up, we've got all kinds of plans for this week, for this year. If you've ever been in an interview process recently where they ask you, what are your plans in the next 3 to 5 years or something like that? We all have plans. We all have goals and dreams, but are our plans daily surrendered to God? And another question that I might ask to bring this home is, do you have any fears yet today? Are there things, not just talking about the ripcord at Michigan Adventure, but that'll always scare me. But are there fears that you hold on to, or maybe there's one thing in particular that God, you're saying, God, I need the courage to do the right thing or to say the right thing. What fears do you still live with? And then lastly, who is it that sees your life on a daily basis? Who are the people that you're influencing but maybe don't quite realize it? Could be a family member, could be someone that goes to school with you, could be someone that you work with, but who watches your life and what do they see day to day? What do they hear? So those are some questions that we can ask. And as Ron and the worship team come up, I'm going to invite those guys to come back up at this time. I just want us to do something very simple and very similar to last week. Your prayer might be something like this. God, these are my plans. It could be as simple as, these are my plans for this week. I surrender them to you. Or it could be something as massive as, God, these are my plans for my life or where I'm going in the next 5, 10 years. But I want them to be led by you. I surrender them to you. And if you lead me that direction, that's where I'll go. As we sing, you might say, Lord, here's where I need courage. Maybe it's in this relationship or standing up for something that you know God is calling you to do or to say. God, I trust that you, like David, will give me the courage to say, the battle is the Lord's. And maybe this morning you might say, Lord, I know those names, those faces of the people that I influence every day, the people who look to me either for encouragement or look to me for an example. Help me to point them to you one day at a time. And so I'm going to invite us as we sing. This next song is just a really powerful song, and it's God who empowers us to do these things. We're going to stand together as much as we are able. If you're able, I would like to invite you to stand. So go ahead and stand up, stretch out, and really focus in. What is God speaking to you today? Does it have to do with your plans, your fears, your influence? What is God saving you to this morning? And as we sing, let's give worship to the one who enables us in all of these areas. Amen.